Coming up, we are back to break down all the shrewd moves of week one, who's overrated, who's not, and give you our locks of the week for week two.
League of Endzone, Dance's podcast.
What is up, LED Nation? We are back for week two. We're going to break down all of week one's actions. Guys, well, actually, let me say this. We've got the crew back. We've got Martin, the commish. Martin, how are you feeling after week one?
I feel okay. I mean, in spite of getting creamed, I think my team still put up a decent amount of points in spite my two best players combining for 7 points. So could have been worse. As everyone knows in this league, points do matter. And I think more importantly than just getting wins, you know, it's important to stay in the mix for points. And I think I did that week one. So could have been worse.
You had a great showing, Martin. I wouldn't feel too down on that. Ant, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Steve. Feeling real well. Not really too surprised, but feeling really good. Went pretty good for me.
Now,
as well as everybody else.
Based on week one action, will Tyreek Hill make your team? Based on what your comments of last week, would he be one guy that would make your team?
Oh yeah, he's on there. He was already kind of on the border, but okay. He definitely. He definitely has crossed the line.
All right. Well, let's get into some of that. Let's break down. So what we're going to do, we're going to do something a little bit different this week. We're actually going to break down all the games from week one and then give you our locks of the week for week two. So we're not going to do all the games of week two. We're just going to give you a few locks of the week. All right. Let's try this new format.
Top news.
All right, let's kick it off with the two co-hosts right here as well. Kickerless Ant shows his fantasy prowess and beats the commish 188 to 138 with a dominant performance by Kamara and Breeze, who put up a combined 74 points. Ant, you going to ever play a kicker this season?
I'm going to try not to, but do I think I will? I probably will. Probably about middle of the season, as long as I can last, so I have to. But right now, the fantasy gods are treating me well. They like my sacrifice, and I'm going to keep rolling with it.
It's 2 years in a row. You beat me last year without a kicker. You dominated me. I was a little bit embarrassed because I had a poor showing anyways, and I don't think you did. You went off as well as you did this week. But it was pretty impressive putting up the top score of the weekend without a kicker as well.
Yeah, I mean, I got pretty lucky with the New Orleans game script. Hopefully their defense will stay shitty the rest of the year, and I got two of the most potent players in that offense. So as long as, that's not going to happen every week. But I feel like, for the most part, my team should have a good amount of targets and good spots to thrive.
Martin, your team had a pretty good showing despite losing Fournette and Baldwin. How do you plan on making this up?
Yeah, you know, first of all, it was a beat down. And a lot of us were actually watching the game on Sunday. And I swear, it just felt like every few minutes, Breeze was scoring another touchdown. And so it was tough to watch on Sunday. But as far as the injuries go, Fournette, luckily I have Yeldon, so I'm not overly concerned there. I'd actually prefer if they just sit him for this week, maybe next, just to help preserve his health for the long haul. These hamstring injuries, as everyone knows, I mean, these things linger all the time. So in spite of them saying that it's minor or what have you, I just prefer them to just sit him. Everyone knows Fournette is super injury prone, so I just don't feel good about him going out there if he's not 100%. I do have Yeldon, so I just prefer they sit him. As far as Baldwin goes, I mean, that one really sucks. Fortunately, I do have a good amount of depth at wide receiver. I think I have some up-and-coming guys with Galladay, and I think Anua also might be pretty good this year. So I think I can weather the storm with Baldwin, but it certainly hurts to lose your two best guys in week one.
Did you make any waiver wire pickups
this week? Oh, yeah. I mean, I think everybody saw that. I grabbed Lindsay.
That's right.
For a hefty price, and I'm pretty broke now, but I think it was a glaring hole on my team and a hole that I felt like I had to address now rather than later. So I made an aggressive play for him. Fortunately, I got him, and I'm feeling like it will fill that hole, at least in the meantime. It's not gonna take me to the ship, but in the meantime, I think it covers a pretty big hole in my roster.
Are you planning to start? So
who are you starting week two?
Yeah.
Who am I starting week two? I'm starting Lindsay, and I'm starting Fournette right now. But I don't think he's going to play, so I'm waiting for that call to be made, and then I'll probably switch him to Yeldon. But it's going to be the Jacksonville running back and Lindsey.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried because Lindsey had the same touches as Freeman. So I'm like, what is happening here? I can't have two backs that are both backs be shared on a timeshare.
Yeah, it's getting interesting over there in Denver.
All right, let's get on to the next matchup. All right, we got Super High Sunny. He dethrones the defending champ, Steve, with a 177-157 victory, getting 66 points from his IDPs. Now, Ant, we know we probably can't count on the IDPs scoring that high consistently, and Sunny's team did have three players with 5 points and under. Where do you see the biggest holes for Super High?
Well, I don't really see that many holes in his lineup. I mean, he if he didn't really get the defensive stellar moves, he would still be a pretty high score. And he didn't really get a big game from Zeke, who's going to give you big games down the road. I think Sonny's just trying to hold on until the steroid guys come back. He does have Edelman and Ingram coming back. But I don't know if they're going to be as strong as they were when they were on steroids. So it's kind of a risk there. But Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, pretty good combo. Golden Tate going to get targets, and his team will be fine.
And Martin, Steven had great production from Connor, obviously, and Michael Thomas. And he seems like he's streaming quarterback. So he had Dalton with a great matchup. You think you're buying the James Connor train? And you think his production continues into week two?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've seen this show before. I mean, I just have two words, D'Angelo Williams, right? I mean, we've seen this happen before where someone has to fill in for Bell and they've never lost a step. And this is probably why the Steelers are taking the position that they are. I mean, there's been no drop off at all in every game that Bell has missed. And they probably feel like they can afford to lose him. Steven's actually pretty lucky to have him. I'm sure Anthony's would take that trade back if he could. But I absolutely believe this production will continue. Last time I checked, this game, KC and Pittsburgh is the only game on the board with a total in the 50s. The actual over-under is 53. So I fully expect another big game from Connor here.
What about the streaming quarterbacks? You like Steven? It seems like, now I'm just predicting, I'm just kind of guessing here, but he's got Case Keenum going against KC Oakland this week. What do you feel about his strategy and the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll be fine streaming quarterbacks. You know, me and Anthony talked a lot about this in the off season, but quarterbacks have really taken a step up over the years. And I think if you look down the list, I mean, there's a lot of serviceable guys, you know, as you kind of look even further down the list. So streaming quarterbacks, I have absolutely no issue with that. I think he'll be just fine doing that. I will say though, Michael Thomas had 16 catches for 180 yards and a touchdown. I mean, those 16 catches,
unstoppable.
It's just absurd. I mean, I think that stat line highlights the importance of having half PPR. I mean, in a full PPR game, getting 16 points just out of catches, I mean, to me, that's just absolutely absurd. And I mean, that's almost three touchdowns worth, and I don't think you can really equate that as far as game contribution. So to me, I just wanted to bring that up. I think that highlights the importance of having a half PPR in.
And, you know, Sonny actually picked up Brandon Marshall. What do you feel about this waiver wire pickup?
I mean, Brandon Marshall, he's got moves in the end zone. He's a red zone target. Baldwin going down. He's a veteran. I mean, I believe he did get a touchdown, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I could see him being Jimmy Graham over there in Seattle. And I don't know if he's going to be huge, but he'll put up some touchdowns from time to time.
All right.
Yeah, he should have actually had two touchdowns, but they called one back for some offensive holding penalty or something like that. But he's I see him definitely as a goal line receiver if such a position exists. But that's absolutely what I think Seattle's using him for. That's always what Marshall's been good at. So I can definitely see him as a touchdown dependent guy. I don't know that he's going to get a lot of volume, but he's definitely going to get some opportunities in the red zone.
Russell Wilson is probably the best quarterback he's played with. So I targeted him too in the waiver wire. I just got outbid by him. All right, next up, we got Jeff Woohoo. Dominates C-Leaguer Steve, getting great production from his IDPs. And just got a great squad. We all like his team. Do you see any holes in his teams, or should we just say he's an automatic to make the playoffs?
I don't know about automatic, but I'd say very good chances. I think Todd Gurley and Jordan Howard very well could be the top two tandem as far as running backs in the league. But behind that, he's going to need a little help from developmental spots. But Mike Evans was a steal in the draft. I thought he got a pretty good price for him. He went off. He looked really good. He looked like he could be top receiver in the league. I think Jeff's team, he's got a clear path of going to the playoffs. So I like his team. I think he'll do well going forward.
Martin, help your big bro out. He had more than I had. Okay, let's face it. I had more than half my team score under 10 points. That means six players scoring under 10 points. Give me some fantasy advice so that I could at least be considered B-League worthy.
Oh, man. You know, I think there's better days ahead for Chris Hogan, although it probably won't come this week against Jacksonville. But I think the one catch game that he had last week is probably not going to happen again. I wouldn't be too worried, but like I said, he's probably not going to have a great bounce back game this week. As far as the Henry Deion Lewis situation, man, I may have been way wrong about this one. Henry just, it seemed like they started with him and then they just ended up giving up on him and going to Deion Lewis exclusively. I mean, he got vastly outplayed by Lewis. And so I'm really concerned about his workload going forward, especially given the question marks about Mariota's health and his own quarterback play. I do like the Eli pickup you paired with OBJ. I know Eli's coming off a bad game, but he did have to play against Jacksonville, so we'll kind of give him a pass. But I think your team, it has pieces, Steve, but I just think it's lacking a little bit of superstars, man. So, I think you just got to, keep weathering the storm and hope for the best.
I'm actually
– Yeah, to add to that, Derrick Henry did get a touchdown call back, so he did break one. So, I mean, if that played out, you would have been – it would have looked a lot different. Chris Hogan is probably the biggest letdown as far as like any receiver around his rank or above him. You're not going to see that from Chris Hogan every week. He does have a tough matchup with Jacksonville this week. So I don't know about this week, but I don't think you could bench him. And then you should have some prime time with OBJ on playing Dallas this week. I like to play.
So who would you guys sit or start? So I'm actually benching Henry right now, and I'm starting Breida. Would you guys, is that a good move, or would you?
I like it. I think Henry, too, Deion Lewis could get hurt, too. He has a pretty good injury pass, so he does look like he's taking the majority of the share workload there, but I wouldn't think Henry's worthless. I think Breida's in a good spot right now where he could shine, and against Detroit, I think he should at least get some catches and get a little bit of runs.
Yeah, I think I'd probably do the same. Like I said, I think with Mariota's health and just the Titans, they just didn't look good at all last week, and Mariota didn't look good. I think there's just a lot of question marks over Derrick Henry. I mean, will he still be the lead back? I mean, maybe, we just don't know. I mean, like I said, the fact that he kind of got benched in that game is just really concerning to me. So I think with all of that risk, I'd go Breida.
All right, love it.
And Sony Michel sitting on your bench, he's the one to hang on to because they're running out of running backs. They just got hurt over there in New England. And so I think he could be a pretty nice play later in the season.
That's why I do the podcast, just to get advice from you guys. All right, guys. Well, let's move on to Edmund beats Dom 144-117 with Khalil Mack outscoring every single player on Dom's team. Martin, can Khalil Mack lead Ed's team in points all season long?
No, I don't think he's an IDP. I mean, these kind of games, this is not a fluke. I mean, we know who Khalil Mack is. He's a game changer defensive player. He's going to have games like this, but he's certainly not going to do this every single week. I mean, defensive linemen, I mean, they're all IDPs, they'll have some good weeks and then they'll have some really bad ones. So no, he's not going to lead his team in points, but it's certainly a huge advantage when you're getting these kind of points out of your defensive lineman position. So, I give Ed a lot of credit for being bold and keeping an IDP, especially with all of the contract dispute situations with Mac. So kudos to Ed for doing that and sticking with Mac.
We actually saw a lot of great production from a lot of people's IDPs. It's a trend that you actually brought up, Martin. You see that trend kind of happening as we see like 20-point games from a lot of IDPs now?
Yeah, that one kind of stuck out to me, and I briefly brought it up to you guys just as I thought it might be a good topic to talk about on the podcast. But as I started to think about it, they did really do a lot in these games. I mean, it's not like they put up these points, out of volume or anything. I mean, they made an impact on the game. And so I think it's appropriately scored, but also at the same time, I don't like to see you know, as I look across the box scores, I don't really like to see teams where it feels like they're being carried by their IDPs, which I feel like was the case with a lot of teams, such as yours, Steve.
I was going to say it was mine, definitely mine.
So I just don't think I'm not comfortable with IDPs impacting the game this much. And so I know it's only 1 week, but you know, if we start to see this happen, you know, more often than not, then I think it definitely begs the question of, do we need to adjust and you know, downtick the scoring in IDPs? But right now, you know, it's only 1 week, so you know, I'm not ready to
get all yet. You know, to add to that, I don't know if we should adjust the rules more or less than allow the market to adjust. I mean, when JJ Watt was killing it, you saw he went for like over $20. I mean, if guys start looking a lot better than kickers, then and the prices on them should start going up. You know, people should realize that and take advantage of that. I think it's set up pretty decent, though. I think if you take away for them to doing good, I think it would just kind of dilute it a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I've sort of focused more on the IDPs. In past years, I just didn't even pay attention to them, but now I'm like more focused on them because they can't impact the game. And let's move on to Dom's team a bit. Sam Bradford looked pretty horrible on Sunday. Are you worried at all about David Johnson's production?
No, but I didn't think David Johnson would be the best running back in the league because this offense is kind of questionable. I think once you get Rosen in there, it might be better. But they also played a good team. So, I mean, they could bounce right back. David Johnson's still supreme talent, but the offense might not be clicking right away. But I could definitely see him putting up, still being a top five running back.
Dom just picked up Powell for $21, outbidding Ken by more than like $18. Do you actually, like $17. But do you see Powell being a force for the Jets?
I think, what's his name? The other guy from Cleveland. I forget his name.
Crowell.
Yeah, I think Crowell might have been the better play on that. But I think he's got both of them, doesn't he? I'm not sure.
I think so. I mean, I got a bid offer. Yeah. I got a trade offer from Dom this week. A little insider info.
Yeah, I mean, it might be okay. I don't know. I've never really been in love with Powell, but he might be all right. So, nothing really like scary. Yeah.
To add to the David Johnson thing, I am concerned. You know, like if you watch that game and you look at the box score, I mean, he only got 9 carries. I mean, this could have been a product of them being down a lot, but I don't think that's something that you know, you could just ignore. I mean, the Cardinals look terrible, you know, and having a running back, I mean, you're not going to get the work that you're getting if your team is constantly playing from behind. I mean, there's simply, you're not going to get that work, right? They're just going to be throwing all the time. And I think the Cardinals offense, you know, there's brand new head coach, brand new coaching staff, you know, brand new scheme. You just don't know what kind of role they have carved out for David Johnson. And I think that in week one, it looked in complete disarray. And I have legit concerns over this offense. And I think if they continue to play this poorly, I mean, I can easily see David Johnson falling steeply in the running back rankings this season. So I have legit concerns over DJ.
Would you sell DJ right now and take Kamara?
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. Give us a better one. Freeman? What about Crowell? Would you start Crowell over DJ?
No, no way. I will say though, I think the Jets offense, I think they are vastly improved. I know that everyone's like, oh, it's the Jets, you know, but they do have, you know, a capable, I thought Sam Darnold, he did look like a rookie. He didn't look super, super, super great, but as far as, you know, relative to past Jets quarterbacks, I think, actually, Donald gives them, you know, a threat to move the chains, and I think there's going to be some fantasy ownable guys on the Jets, and I don't think that Anua, Crowell, or Powell, all those performances were completely a fluke. It was probably a little bit inflated, but I think there's going to be some productive players on the Jets this year.
What about Jordan Howard?
Yeah, now
Jordan Howard over DJ. Is that a better?
No, I wouldn't go that far yet, but it's headed in that direction.
What about Joe Mixon? Joe Mixon for DJ, would you do it?
I would. I like Mixon this year.
Let's move on to the next matchup. All right, despite getting a fat zero from a safety, Roger actually squeaks by Gandalf Doug. And you notice some moves that Roger actually made. What were those moves?
Well, a couple of Ailey caliber moves. I thought Roger was pretty bold. He drafted Jimmy G and Goodwin, kind of a little combo there. And when you build your team around those guys, it's pretty tough to bench them week one. I mean, he's facing Minnesota, and he ended up going with Tyrod Taylor and I think John Ross. And because he made that switch, which was a tough thing to do, he ended up winning his match. He would have lost his match if he didn't make that switch. So kudos to him. A-League caliber. He looks like he belongs in the A-League, and I'm excited to see how far he goes.
Now, see that? That's the kind of winning attitude that's going to take this enterprise straight to the top.
I agree. I think that was a good move on Roger's part. Although I want to say that it was against Minnesota, so it's not like it was like completely thinking outside the box or going out on a limb there. So it didn't seem like I'm just saying it wasn't a move that I think that like a lot of people would probably make the same move, but definitely good. It was a gamble, and I think it paid off for him. So good move by Roger.
Marion, despite Derek. No, go ahead. You want to add to this?
I don't know. If you were to ask the league, hey, if you drafted Jimmy G and you picked up Tyrod Taylor off the waiver wire, if you would have started him week one, I don't know. I think most people would have started the guy they drafted, even though it was a tough matchup.
Maybe. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think it was like a super surprise move that he did that, because I think the logic was there, you know, and it wasn't like.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think definitely if you put the rankings down there and you look at it from a standpoint of, oh, you know what, this guy's probably ranked. But to draft these guys and just throw them on your bench, or you put all this capital in them the first week one, I don't know. That would have been hard for me to do it, to be honest. I don't even know if I would have. I would have tried to trust in my guys, but it's a bold move. I thought it was very bold.
Mario, now for Doug's team, despite Derrick Henry getting the start, Deion Lewis seemed to be the lead back. How do you see this backfield playing out, and where do you see Doug's team going from here?
For Doug's team, I still really don't like it. I think he's one of the worst teams in the league. And I think, you know, I had my concerns over his team, and he basically confirmed that in week one. I just don't think there's a lot of star power. Deion Lewis, he did have a nice game, and I honestly don't know how that backfield situation is going to play out. It's really kind of up in the air, and that's kind of the reason why I told you I wouldn't start Derrick Henry. I just think that there's a lot that's uncertain about who's going to get the work, and there's a lot of uncertainty in the quarterback position as well. So just given all of that uncertainty, I'm very uncomfortable starting either of them. But if I had to choose, I'd probably choose Deion Lewis at this point.
Yeah. Well, one thing. Okay. Well, never mind. Let's get into the next one. Whoops. Wrong drop. Here we go. All right. The next matchup I want to talk about is Prez. Prez proving that if you have Aaron Rodgers, a miracle can happen. So he actually beats Mike 134-105. What do you guys think about Prez's team? I mean, he was ranked the last.
Well, I picked him to win. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised, to be honest. His team looked good. He definitely, fourth quarter, Aaron Rodgers comes out and throws three touchdowns and they wins the game for him. I mean, without him doing that, his team would have had a pretty bad showing. But it is Aaron Rodgers, and so we'll see if he plays next week. I'm curious to see that. Overall, he did pretty good this week.
I think the biggest surprise for me, I watched a lot of this game, but Ajayi, you know, I was a little bit concerned for him coming into the season. I think they seem like they're going to go more towards him. Like they were a little bit more split in the first half, and the second half, Jai got most of the work. How are you guys feeling about Jai, Martin?
I think he'll be fine. I still don't like the fact that they use as many running backs as they do. I mean, they throw Sproles in there quite a bit as well, but it seems like in goal line situations and you know in situations where they really need a play, it seems like they are going to Jai. But still, to me, I just don't feel comfortable having a running back that is sharing the load as much as Ajayi is. Yeah.
Well, the coach came out this week and said that he was going to try to feature Ajayi more. So that's kind of promising. He did get two touchdowns with the work he did got. So I don't know. I think he has pretty decent upside. I think more Freeman had a little issue He looks like he's a little banged up, and I don't really see him going week after week without missing a little bit of time here and there. But definitely Ajayi could be a definitely pretty good steal.
Now, Mike, you know, I don't love his wide outs. He's got Juju. But other than that, you know, Robinson and Corey Davis, you know, all right. But I feel like, do you think Luck is back, Ant? Is he back for good?
Oh, he's back, dude. He's definitely back, no question. He'll be a top five QB this year.
I agree. I think Luck, I liked what I saw out of him. And I kind of see Luck as kind of like a Drew Brees, right? Like, they're both very capable quarterbacks, and their defenses are just pathetic. They're just pathetic. And, you know, as a fantasy owner, that's an ideal situation for any fantasy player, especially the quarterback, right? And in the Brees situation, honestly, it was a little bit surprising that they got creamed by the Bucs as bad as they did. You know, the Saints actually had a top 10 defense last year. So to see them get absolutely demolished by Ryan Fitzmagic, I mean, that was just shocking. I mean, they took out, I don't know exactly how many, but they took out a shitload of players in survival as well. Yep. But this, the Andrew Luck situation, I see it exactly like Brees. As long as their defense continues to suck, they're going to put up monster numbers.
Yeah, it's all indications that their defense is going to continue to suck. All right, and lastly, we saved the worst for last in this case. In the overrated bowl, we had preseason rank Armand beating preseason rank Ken with dismal scores, 108-98. And bad week for both teams, or trouble ahead for both teams?
Well, I think they both kind of struggled this week. But they're in a tough division. So if you slip just a little bit, you got some ground to make up. So they better do it pretty quickly. Martin, real quick, would you rather have Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes?
Man, I mean, after week one, it's hard to say I want Watson, but I think you still got to take Watson. But that's tough, though, especially given how bad he played. But I don't think that's going to continue. I think, you know, New England sometimes does just kind of shut down their number one, and maybe, you know, Watson got a little flustered by that. But I think better weeks are ahead for Watson.
Oh, give me Holmes on that one.
I will say I've been beating this drum for a few weeks now, and I think I'll continue to beat it all season. But I think the finger has been lifted on the panic button for Ken. I don't think he's hitting it yet, but the finger has been lifted for sure. I mean, I'd be really worried about that playoff streak if I was Ken. And to his credit, he's played in the A League 5 years, and he's played in the B League 3. So he's really batting 1,000 for really 8 years in LED as a whole. And it's an impressive streak, but I think it's in real danger of being snapped this season. By contrast, Anthony's the only other one going on a similar streak. He's also going on a 5-year playoff streak. And I think he's in position to continue that and make it 6. But Ken, I don't know, man. It's not looking good, Ken.
When I'm looking at the waivers, Ken got outbid for every single one of his. He went for Powell, got outbid, didn't put too much. But Brandon Marshall, who's the second bid. And then for Jamal Adams, I went after him as well. The safety for the Jets, he got outbid by Mike. So
I mean, story of the year for Ken, getting outbid on all the players.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And you know, if there's anyone that can right the ship, it probably is Ken. But like Anthony said, he's playing in a real tough division. And, you know, I said this at the draft, I think he just waited way too long to get in on the action. And, you know, relative to past seasons, I think this is easily one of the worst teams that we've seen Ken have.
Yeah. He seemed a little bit shocked by all the huge outrageous bids that were going on during the draft. Martin, if Watson doesn't pan out, you worried about Hopkins' production going down this year?
A little bit. I'm a little bit worried, but at the same time, you got to remember this guy was also a stud behind some pretty shitty quarterbacks in the past. So I think he'll probably be okay, but certainly it's not a good sign the way they looked in week one. I think Anthony might've been right about this one. His ADP just went crazy this year. Although, you know, Ken didn't, you know, he didn't get him for any absurd price. He got him as a $1 keeper, but certainly the love for Watson went pretty far this year. And I think those doubts, the doubters proved right in week one, but we'll see how he improves going forward.
Let's see. I was going to pick some players. Adams over Hopkins.
Devontae Adams.
Yeah. I go Adams. Sure. No, Hopkins. Hopkins? Rodgers might be getting hurt too, so it's kind of a question there.
Well, about Diggs? For sure, but
Diggs versus Hopkins.
I'd still take Hopkins. I mean, it's week one, yeah, right? It's easy to overreact. And
it is week one. Can't overreact.
But I think it's definitely a concern. If Watson comes out and plays the next couple games, looking the way that he did in week one, I mean, he looked like he was a little rusty. He was off on a lot of throws. Certainly did not look like the player that he was last season.
For five games.
And I, you know, me and Anthony talk about this a lot too. Is that, you know, these mobile quarterbacks, a lot of times, you know, you do historically, you've seen them put in one good season, and then the next year there's a scouting report on you, and guys figure you out, and the defenses figure you out, and they struggle. And I really like Watson, just having watched him a lot in college, so I'm a little bit biased, and you know, because I've seen him so much in the past. But I think that's definitely an angle that I buy. But again, it's too early to make that call yet. But certainly something to be concerned about.
Any final thoughts?
All right, Steve. Week one? Steve. Tyreek Hill or Mike Evans?
I loved Hill. That was the biggest thing. Like, I was a little bit worried about Hill. I could say that last week, but just seeing some of the highlights from week one, man, that dude is so freaking fast. It's insane. So, I mean,
he's electric.
Yeah, he's electric. So I'd rather have Hill. Like, I really love Hill right now. He seems like the real deal.
And you know what?
Yeah, I like him too.
You know what? I agree.
You're not bad.
I myself was included in this pool, but man, everybody was hating Tyreek Hill in the offseason, man. Everybody, including myself. Yep. I was starting to teeter over to that doubter side. But you know, I give Anthony actually a lot of credit because he was actually hyping him up a lot all summer to me. And in spite of all the people and all the fantasy experts doubting him, you know, he kept pushing him. So thank you, Anthony. I'll give you some credit.
Right on.
For pushing me to get him. And I'm super happy about it now. In retrospect, that $35 cost, when I was a little worried about that at first, it's looking like a steal now.
Yeah, I love Hill. All right, any other final thoughts?
I would say talent supersedes situations. Situations in the NFL always change, but the talent ends up panning out. So I think Tyreek Hill kind of fits in that. Super talented. We haven't seen this guy's upside, and he's fun to watch. He definitely is.
Martin, any final thoughts? You got anything to add?
Yes. So as usual, we have another trivia question. This one might be kind of easy given what we just talked about, but the question is, who is currently the number one fantasy player after 1 week?
All right.
Steve knows, right?
I don't know, actually. I have to look it up.
Say it.
All right, here we go.
All right. Our B-League guest tonight is a USC Trojan alum. He currently works in video editing and is now in his third season of the B-League. Last year, he had the most regular season points, but unfortunately fell short in the playoffs, losing to Roger in the semifinals and eventually finishing fourth. He's a good friend of mine. He's Mr. Zachaman Wu, otherwise known as She's Super Zeke. What's up, Zach? What's going on?
She's super Zeke. It's good. I'm doing well. Good to finally be on the cast, you know, finally represent for the B-League on here. It's been a long time since I feel like, you featured one of us in the last podcast. I was hoping for the rankings, but they didn't come out. Next year, we'll have them.
I'm excited
to be on here.
It's a good thing you brought that up, because I have to apologize to all the B-leaguers. I know a lot of you guys were expecting it last week, and we did not deliver. Jay was a little bit unprepared, and we just never got around to doing the dedicated B-League draft recaps show. But I promise you guys, it's on the agenda for next season. So sorry. Thanks for listening last week, and we hope you guys continue to listen this year. But Zach, let's start with the draft, man. You had the fourth overall pick, and you chose Zeke Elliott after having Antonio Brown for the last 2 years. Did you consider Brown at all, or were you dead set on drafting Zeke from the fourth spot? And are you having any regrets now after seeing the Dallas offense lay an egg on Sunday?
I mean, yeah, Antonio Brown is always like a nice name to have on your team. But like you said, the last 2 years, I did draft him. And while he's been good to me, I have nothing against Antonio Brown. I had kind of decided that I was going to go running back first, just because I thought that running back was a little bit thinner this year. I had actually made up my mind. There's no scenario in which no running back that I wanted fell to me, but I said that if I was going to go wide first, I actually was going to take D-Hop this year in any league. So in every league, I ended up going running back first. But if I were to have gone wide first, I would have actually selected Hopkins. As far as regrets, you know, it's the first week. I'm not going to overreact to anything. I think Zeke is going to get his. I mean, he finished top 10 RB last year, and he missed 6 games. You know, the ceiling is there. I like his health. You know, if Dallas has a couple of more games and they can't really get anything going, that's when I'm really going to start to panic and start looking for a replacement. But I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah. You know, and I agree with you. I thought he was going to be just fine, but boy, that Dallas offense looked bad on Sunday. I mean, they looked like they were like a JV NFL team. I mean, it seemed like the defense, the Carolina defense, all they wanted to do was just stop the run. And I think if that continues and if they struggled this much in the passing game, I mean, it could mean, you know, some bad games for Zeke.
Stack boxes.
Stack, yeah.
Against Zeke, yeah.
I mean,
that was my concern. You know, if I really didn't like what I saw from the passing game. So if they can improve it there, then I think Zeke is going to be okay. It might be a rough year if nothing ever gets going for Dak, though, because then I think Zeke is just going to see stack boxes all season, and it could be like that one girl, I think it was Gurley's second season, where everyone was just stacking the box against him, and they had no other weapons. But I think he's a little more durable player than Gurley, and I expect him to still be fine. I honestly, your draft and the draft afterwards, I pretty much got almost every player I was targeting. For me, it's very player specific. You know, I don't view my second round picks and third round picks, like all those guys, as equal. I don't listen to rankings. You know, I always make an individualized scouting report for each player when I'm preparing for a draft. So I still like my, well, you know, I make a short list, like,
right,
players that I'm hot on and players that I'm trying to avoid, right? And of course, I'm going to pick players like if I can get value off their ADP, but really there are players specifically that I'm targeting and players that I'm staying away from. And I still like my team despite losing to Grace, despite that underperformance. Sadly, I don't think I've beat Grace in all of my time in the league yet. You know, I'm not worried about that either. My turn is coming around, and I'm glad I lost, you know, week one versus in the playoffs.
Right, right.
What are some of those draft picks that you were specifically looking for that you liked this year?
Oh, well, so between Martin's draft and this other league that I commissioned, I got those players. I was specifically targeting, like, Luck or Josh Gordon. I specifically was targeting Zeke in this one. A player that came up that I wasn't planning to draft, but fell to me in the third round, fourth pick, was Mike Evans.
Wow.
I was very, very surprised that he fell that late. I was asking in my head if any of these people in the B League have seen Mike Evans play, because, you know, I know there's some concern with Deshaun Jackson, and, you know, Winston's not going to be back, but Mike Evans is a freak of nature, and you know that
it's magic.
It's magic, exactly.
Zach, I have to ask you, so moving on to week one, right, a lot of people heading into this season were really hating on Jason for trading away his third overall pick in exchange for Danny's ninth pick and his fifth round pick. And then Jason turns around and puts up the top score and puts up 172 points. Are you eating a little bit of crow for hating on Jason here?
I don't think so. Despite him putting up those numbers, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you not want, like, why would you want a later round pick? Like, are you trying to pick two people in the fifth or two people in the ninth? And if you are so hot on those people, like, you could just pick them in the third. So I still think it was a stupid move. I stand by it. You know, he lucked out, and I guess it didn't affect his team for week one, but let's face it, that's just week one.
Right, right.
Also, that was good. That was good.
Also, looking across the scores, we have two new rookies this year in Aaron, who is A.A. Ron, and Brett, who is Spark. And both of them came out of the gate with pretty strong scores. Aaron put up 132 in his win over JC, and Brett put up 147 over his win over Ravi. Do you think these guys do you think they have a team to be reckoned with, or do you think this was a one-week wonder?
Let me check them out. I don't think either team made my tops. Although I'm looking at Brett's team right now, and he's pretty stacked. He's kind of stacked at running back. He has Michael Thomas. You know, I think this guy can play. Like, he knows what he's doing. I've never met him, but this is definitely a decent team. I wouldn't underestimate that team. Let's check out A.A. Ron, Breeze, Hopkins, Juju, Burkhead. He got Lindsey. He got Gronk. Cooks, you know, I think this is a decent team too. But you know, I think it's also missing some pieces, like a lot of teams in the league. I think that they look competent so far. You know, I always assume that people are competent players until I see something otherwise.
Yep. And Zach, because we never really got to do a B-League draft recap, why don't you give us your kind of personal power rankings. Who do you feel like is the top five teams in the B-League right now after week one?
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I was expecting this question. So what I did was, you know, I was about to go out to eat dinner and stuff. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. So I just looked at everyone's roster in the B-League. And just after a precursory glance, I picked which ones I thought were above average, and it turns out there are about seven of them. And so I'll do just the top half of the B League, in my opinion. And these are in no particular order. It was just the rosters that are listed in the roster order on Yahoo. It's really too hard for me to do that. Let me go through them, and then maybe I could see if I could get into detail more about which ones I think are better than the others.
We don't want to go into too much detail, but we kind of want the elevator version of your top five teams.
Okay, well, I'll go through them pretty fast. So I think Jason has a good team. He has A-Rod, Tyreek, Sanders, Melvin, Lamar Miller, O.J. Howard, James Conner. Conner.
West pick.
Yeah, in spite, I think his team is good. You know, he picked up Fitzpatrick off the wire. I thought that was a savvy move. He picked him up for absolutely nothing as a free agent. Nobody tried to, you know, go in on him, which makes sense because he has a limited shelf life if you think Winston's going to come back. But yeah, I mean, obviously I love Tyreek. I love everything about Melvin this year too. His team took a little bit of a hit.
Huh? Okay. Who's next? You like Jason? Who else do you like?
I like Jason's team. I like Grace's team, not just because she beat me, but I actually genuinely like it. I think, you know, OBJ, you can't go wrong with him as long as he doesn't get injured. Not feeling Big Ben as much, but she has the Wentz on the bench. And so when he comes back, I see that as an upgrade on her team. She has Kupp, McCaffrey. She's always kind of stacked her running backs with a passing back. Usually good for PPR. Hyde looks like he's the starter this year. Ertz, you know, he had a bad game. He'll bounce back. And Kenny Stills, my Achilles heel, almost lost to in another league this week because of Kenny Stills, and only won because I had Crowell left and he had Cooper. He was up by 9 points. But as we all know, Crowell scored two TDs and Cooper put up a big fat, one catch? I like her team a lot. So let's start with some people those two, I think they won their mashups, right? But these next few, I actually like their teams a lot, and they all lost last week. I like John's team, ACL Tech. He has Flacco. That I don't like, but Flacco should be better this year. He has Thielen, Demaryius. I like Demaryius, especially in a PPR league. He's always good for 10-plus targets a game, even in this, crowded crowded receiver core. He has Chris Thompson, Deion Lewis, Kareem Hunt. I think that is as solid of a running back core as anyone's in this league, especially when you get to PPR. These Deion Lewis and Chris Thompson are absolute monsters. He had a Jonnu Smith, which I think should also be a target monster. If you like, you know, Delanie Walker stats, I think he has the most targets as a tight end last year. Right. I like Robbie's team a lot too. You know, he lost last week, but he has Andrew Luck. That's my boy. I'm 100% in on the Colts this year. I think Andrew Luck is a born winner, and this kid just knows how to win. His running backs are stacked too. Saquon, Jordan Howard, Mixon. He has Mark Ingram sitting, you know, in suspension right now, but when he comes back, I think Ingram will put up serviceable numbers, especially in a PPR league. Is Crowell, I don't know. His wides are a little lacking. You know, I mean, Tate's all right, but he's very, very vanilla choice. Robert Woods, you know, I'm actually a fan because he's USC, yay, go Trojans, but I don't know how I actually like him as a fantasy player. You know, I like the Rams offense, so that bodes well. And then Dirty Mike and the boys. I mean, despite not having very good RBs, I like his team a lot. He has Brady. He has AB, my boy. He has Diggs. I think he was the only one in the draft who's also in disbelief that Evans didn't go earlier. I think he was trying to choose between Diggs and Evans. I think Graham should have better games. I don't know. At least tight end. You know, there's not a lot of variation once you get past that top tier. Robbie Anderson, I was a lot hotter on Robbie Anderson before this week one. Now I'm thinking Darnold just loves a Nunwa. But yeah, I like Mike's team too. And the last team I'm going to throw up there is my team. I still think it's a good team. I still think it's a top five team.
So you put yourself number six and you put those five other teams above you.
Sure. If you want to rank it like that, we could do that.
I got you. Okay. So just to recap, Zach's power rankings. Number one, Jason. Number two, Grace. Number three, JC, ACL Tech. Number four, Ravi. And number five, Mike. And of course, number six, Zach, yourself. So Zach, I did ask you for an elevator version. If we were on an elevator, that we'd probably have to be going up maybe 500 floors because that took quite a while. but thank you for your power rankings. I did want to ask you though, because we put in this new waiver system this year, the Fab budget. What are your thoughts on that? How do you feel like that's working out for the B League this year?
I have a lot of thoughts on the new Fab system, but I'll try to give you as elevator version as I can. I'm just not very good with the brevity thing, you know. I mean, for Fab, it's a completely different ball game. We like it because it is way more realistic, and everyone has a chance to get anyone at any point in the season versus, you know, this rolling waiver thing. And so I'm pretty sure I had by far the most waiver bids in week one. I think I screenshotted it. I had like 20 or 22 bids or something like that. And it's because I've never played Fab with this group before, right? So the only thing I had to go off of was that John, you know, spent $30 on Alfred Morris and Fernando, what, bid 25 after him, which I thought was ridiculous. That's way too much. But I purposefully went really high, actually plus $1 or $2 higher than my max for these players, just because I wanted to have a part of week one at the beginning. And I thought people would be bidding a lot more aggressively in this league. And there were some aggressive bids for sure. Like Lindsay was picked up for $41. That's too much for 55. Me. I mean, in another league, 55. Yeah. Like in my other league, someone picked him up for 75, which is even more ridiculous because we only have $100. But I think that's a rookie mistake. You're going to run out of cash fast, right? There's no way to earn it back in this league either, too.
Is that week one overreaction?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I bid hard, but I got what I have like 7 pickups so far, right? So I've gotten way more for my money. I just don't like the odds of banking that much money on one player when, you know, they all have the same probability of, I mean, not the same probability of working out, but you know, one guy, like, what's the probability that one guy works out for you? It's usually not that high. Well, you got to get pretty lucky.
If he works out in week one, he's more valuable because you get him for more weeks.
That's very true. And, you know, there are very good pickups to be made these first few weeks, you know, because certain players will go down and they'll be filled with, you know, great opportunity for the rest of the season. So there is some risk to it, but you know, how many bids like that can you make, right? If you're bidding $55, you can only make two bids like that. And so what, you're going to pick up two players that work out for you all season? I mean, I learned a lot of things, right? Yeah.
It sounds like you're a fan of the new system. That's good. It sounds like you like the FAB system opposed to the waiver priority. So that's good.
I learned a lot from it. Like, I learned who was loose in our league, right? Because I've never played with any of these people before. So I also learned kind of a ballpark range that's good to go with this group, you know. And I learned who was active or not.
Played with them. This is your third season, but you haven't.
I've never played with them in a FAB system, so I don't know, you know, how stingy or loose they are with their money.
Zach, when you come to A-League, I have a 6-year chart that charts everybody's tendency and what they pick for in every position. Yeah. So don't worry. I like to look at the chart. It's we got lots of data.
All right, Zach.
All right, I like that.
So I have to ask you, we're going to ask this to every B-League guest that comes on going forward. But in light of our last show and the sponsor, what would you sacrifice for LED?
For LED? It's got to be everything, man.
Love it. I love it. Love it.
Nice.
Great answer.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I got a quick thing, Zach. Hey, what is what's the best chances Hugh Jackson keeps his job?
I think if the Browns have close to 500 season, I think his job is fine. But
what would you do if you were him to best secure your job?
Oh, you play Josh Gordon. You play the best player on your team, which is Josh Gordon.
And you throw.
You want to win or not?
Straight
you
up.
You want to win or not?
There was no way they were holding him to 20 snaps. Like they freaking. I never bought that for 1 minute that they were going to keep Gordon for 20 snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, it turned out. You know, you just need to target him. You need to put Baker Mayfield in and see what you got there.
I will say, though, I think it's a little concerning that they said he was going to play 20 snaps. He ended up playing 69 snaps and still only got one catch. I think it's a little bit concerning, but maybe it's just the coaching staff trying to ease him back into the game flow.
I heard he lost.
Yeah, I think
I heard that he was covered. That's what I heard. But maybe it was also kind of rainy.
Some people were saying that was underthrown. The interception that he was targeted in. Yeah, some people were saying is under. I mean, like, he hasn't had a lot of practice with them, right?
But he went and got that ball and scored the touchdown. So you want to win the game, I'd go to him.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what he does on talent alone, right? He doesn't know the playbook yet. He hasn't developed. He hasn't had too much time to develop a rapport with Terod.
It was bad weather.
Well, I think this might be one of our longest B League interviews ever. Ant, do you have anything else?
We can still edit it. We can still edit it out.
Yeah, we edit a little bit. I mean, about the FAB system, I like it because after this week, I learned about who was really active on the wire and who wasn't. Like, there were two guys I think that
not a lot of active players in the B League on the wire.
There was not surprisingly not a lot of action. There were two players I bid pretty high on, and I think I was the only bidder. And so now I know in the future, you know, I bid big money on these players. Nobody else even bidded. It really lets me know who's working the wire and who values what in a pickup.
Yep.
I'm not going to say what I learned specifically, but I learned a lot.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're working the wire, Zach. And I have to say, I think you're doing great in the B-League. Many of us feel like you're one of the strongest players in our pipeline. So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Good luck this week against JC and the rest of the way. And thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. It's always good to represent for the B.
Let's get into the locks of the week.
This week's previews.
All right, guys. nobody really gives us feedback on the podcast. So please, if you guys like this new format, let us know. It took a little bit of time for me to put all those notes together for the week one recap. But if it works out, then we can move ahead with this type of format. But for this week's lock of the week, I have a pretty obvious one. I'm not going to pick myself, although I'm not getting any love again this week. But I'm going to pick Dom over Gandalf Doug. The way I feel about Doug this year is he's kind of like the Buffalo Bills. So I'm locking every single opponent against him. Yep, that's right. Like survival. Martin, who's your luck of the week?
I actually picked the same one, man. So like I said, I feel like Doug and Ken have glaringly the weakest teams, and they came out week one and basically confirmed that. I mean, they had two of the lowest scores. And so I gotta pick against Doug here too. I think 142, I don't think he's going to get there. I actually think his team's a lot weaker than his projections show, but definitely I'm picking Dom over Doug as my lock of the week.
Well, the rest of the league agrees with us. He's got 7-0. I've got 1. That's because I picked myself. But, Ant, who do you got as your lock of the week?
I'm going with the chalk here, taking Dom here. Last time, the lock of the week also hit Steve. You remember?
Yeah, I think it was
who the lock of the week last. I mean, it was consensus. Jeff. I mean, Ellie, you even picked against yourself, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So I think this one may be the same.
Although, yeah, guys, I will say that I went 1-7 in Pick'em, boo-hoo, last week. So, maybe I'm cursed, and maybe me picking Dom might mean that Doug wins.
Well, that would be true, Martin, but you got Ant picking the same thing, and he went 7-0, and this guy is just a genius, okay? He can win without kickers, doesn't need anybody. Went 7-0, all the games right. So I think we're in good. Sorry, Doug. You're gonna go into like.
I mean, if you sacrifice a kicker, you might go 7-0 as well.
And maybe we should have just done the preview so I could just bite off all of Anthony's picks, because I need some waiver money.
If you need waiver money, it's not a bad strategy. It's not a bad strategy. But I usually use you, Martin, as my little
you go against
my healers.
You fade me?
It's just been working well.
I've actually picked Roger this week, because last year.
Right, I'm going against. Roger.
Oh, you're going against Roger. Oh shit! Maybe I might have to rethink. But last year when I
picked then I was switching back.
Yeah, last year when I picked against myself, I think I won like 4 or 5 in a row.
Yeah.
So you know what? I'm gonna go give that a try again.
All right, guys.
You want last year to be part of this year? Come on, Martin.
Hey, I'm just trying to be superstitious. Whatever works, man.
Hey, you got a new year ready to go. A few months ago, he's ready.
I actually have a call that I have to do at 10 o'clock. See, I'm hustling all the time. But I love this new format. I thought this was great. I actually preferred it. Yeah, go ahead.
What about Zach?
Oh yeah, where is Zach?
All right, let me text him the thing.
He's got a call at 10, man.
Well, hey, Martin, let me end the show, and then you can pretend like it's a segment and just say like, hey, let's get into the B-League segment. You can do it, and then I'll just edit it in afterwards. So I'll stay on here, and I'll just be mute, but okay. I'm going to take my call. And then when I see you guys leave, I'm going to pretend that's when my signal that you guys are all done. So I'll edit all that out.
All right. Sounds good. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, for the for the commish, Martin, for the whiz kid, Ant, this was a fun recap type of episode. Guys, did you guys like this a little bit more than our little preview stuff that we used to do? What do you think, Martin?
I like mixing it up. I like mixing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I agree. I think it was good to, it's good to change the format up a little bit. I think things get stale sometimes when you do the same thing over and over again. So yeah, I liked it, man.
Not that we talked more about the fantasy actual players rather than just the teams too. We talked a little bit about the team. I love this format. So if you guys enjoyed it too, please put new format, loved it, give a thumbs up into our LED Facebook group, messenger group as well. So for the commish, for Ant, we will see you next week on the LED podcast.
What the f*** is wrong with you?